What's your favorite local beer? And would it make a difference to you if you found out that beer actually came from the mainland? Kona Brewing Company has moved to settle a class action lawsuit alleging that the brewery misled consumers with marketing that was themed with Hawaii, but not the beer. Kona's bottled and canned beers actually are produced on the mainland. HPR's Ryan Finnerty has been following that story.
Hey, Bill. So, yeah, a lot of people out there are probably familiar with these beers from Kona Brewing Company. They've got names like Big Wave, Golden Ale, Fire Rock, Hanalei IPA, and Pipeline Porter. And as you heard, some of them are named for actual places in Hawaii. Some of them are more just evocative of the feel of Hawaii. And the issue is, as you mentioned in that intro, that none of those beers, if you buy them in a bottle or a can, are actually produced in Hawaii. The company does have a production facility in Kona that a lot of people have probably been to in a restaurant, but that only produces draft beer. And so that fact spurred a class action lawsuit filed by a California man in 2017. He alleged that Craft Beer Alliance, which is the parent company of Kona Brewing Company, misled him into thinking that the beer he purchased, it was a six-pack in that case, actually came from Hawaii. And last week, CBA, that parent company of Kona, moved to settle the lawsuit without admitting any wrongdoing.
So if it is draft beer, Kona draft beer, it's brewed in Hawaii, but the bottles and cans not. And that, in terms of Kona Brewing having some long history here in Hawaii, relatively speaking.
Yeah, and so if you drink draft Kona, if you buy it in a bar or get a keg of it in Hawaii, it came from the Hawaii facility. If you buy a draft on the mainland, that's not necessarily the case. But the brewery has been in operation since the mid-1990s on Hawaii Island. That's when they first opened up. But as you can imagine, like producing anything in Hawaii, it's pretty expensive and logistically challenging to do it. Everything has to be shipped in, things like hops, grains, you know, the raw materials of beer, to cans and bottles to actually package it. And even all that large brewing equipment. We heard last week from the owner of Maui Brewing about the challenges they're having with getting brewing equipment in with the tariffs and everything. So when it came time to expand their production, Kona Brewing Company looked at contracting some of that out to existing facilities on the mainland. This is a pretty common tactic for a lot of brewers to use. And I spoke with Andy Baker, who listeners might recognize from our pledge drives. He used to work in HPR's corporate underwriting department, but he's actually been a longtime member of the Hawaii brewing industry for about 35 years. And he gave me a little bit of the background as to how Kona made that decision.
The way that they were going to be financially successful was to increase production of draft beer. So number one, they need space. Number two, they also built their brewery restaurant over there at the same time. So carving up the space, something really had to go. Financially, when you looked at the situation, you put two shipping containers side by side in Oakland, California. The shipping container that's got, let's say, 2,500 cases of empty bottles next to a container that's got 1,500 cases full of beer. The container that's got full beer ships at 40% less shipping rate than the container that's got empty bottles. So I think Kona at the time looked at that and said, we've got to delete space to make room for this restaurant and increase our draft production. So what gives? And I think what gave was a bottling line.
And Bill, you might, as I did, be scratching your head about how that shipping math worked out.
Boy, that's astounding. Full beer ships at 40% less of a shipping rate than the container that has empty bottles.
Yeah, and so what Andy said is that the shipping rates are not just based off of the weight of what's in it. They're based off of the quantity that you're bringing in. Uh-huh. And so you can imagine, if you're bringing in the materials to produce all your beer, you're bringing in a lot more empty bottles, let's say, than if you were just bringing in some beer to sell in Hawaii.
Right.
You're bringing in a comparatively fewer number of containers, so they're priced differently. And so that's kind of how that weird math works out. And even on the mainland, where brewers can truck their products, they don't need to worry about shipping it. This is a pretty common practice to outsource production to a facility that's closer to maybe where one of your markets is, or that's already in existence. And one of the reasons is that this is a very competitive industry. The latest figures show that there are more than 7,000 breweries in the United States. Most of them are pretty small, and you can think there's a lot of breweries around the islands that are, maybe it's just a restaurant that produces some beer, mm-hmm. or they just sell it in-house, but that all counts as a brewery. So to compete in this very competitive space, brewers need to be very efficient. And I talked to Bart Watson, who's the chief economist for the Brewers Association, about how they go about doing that.
I think it's putting a lot of pressure on the breweries that rely on broad distribution to compete, and particularly those that distribute all across the country, or at least a long way away from where their brewery is located. One of the challenges those breweries face is it costs more and more to do business in a competitive environment. You need more salespeople. And so, breweries are trying to find ways that they can still, grow and be competitive, without, breaking the bank or taking on a ton of debt. So, we see breweries who are looking for partners, either, selling out to a large brewer or forming brewery groups, or taking on a private equity partner. And we see breweries who, if they're still in expansion mode, looking to, contract somewhere else so that they can, see what the market size is without taking on all that debt and all that risk of expanding by building a huge brewery.
And so, Bill, all that is to say, what Kona Brewing was doing was not at all abnormal, pretty common. What got them in trouble was that all their beer is marketed as Hawaii. It doesn't explicitly say brewed in Hawaii. That would have been an explicit problem. But, it's named after Hawaii. There's little vignettes about places in Hawaii. And they're not alone. German brewer Beck's got in trouble for this in 2013. They were sued after Anheuser-Busch bought the company and moved production of U.S. sales to St. Louis. Mm. And they were sued for still being marketed as a German beer. The law that covers this is the Federal Trade Commission Act, and it outlaws unfair or deceptive trade practices, but that's very much up to the interpretation of an agency that's enforcing it or a judge in this case. And so I spoke with Honolulu attorney Elijah Yip from the law firm Luminate Law to get a sense of how this law could be applied to this case.
Yeah, that's a tricky one, because in this case, the plaintiff's argument was, look, your name says you're from Kona. And by implication, consumers would believe that that product, the beer that you're brewing, it comes from Kona or somewhere in Hawaii. So the test, the perspective to look at is, what would a reasonable consumer think? How would they process the advertising copy, the claims that you're making? What would the reasonable consumer think? The case settles, so we won't know for sure who's right or who's wrong. But probably the argument was that, by the plaintiffs at least, that, hey, if I see your brand, Kona Brewing Company, putting out this beer, I'm going to pick it up at the store and I'm going to think that it's from Kona or somewhere in Hawaii. And if you don't do your job to tell me otherwise, then I've been tricked, I've been deceived. And that's considered deceptive trade practice.
And Bill, I should say, Elijah was not involved in that case at all. Mm-hmm. So that was purely outside analysis, and he didn't know that much about it. So just from reading the statute, that was his interpretation.
But that idea of using Hawaii as a brand when you're not all the way through with it.
Yeah, and it's interesting. There's actually a state law on the books that Andy Baker told me about. If you sell an alcoholic beverage in Hawaii, it needs to be fully produced in the state of Hawaii. So that's brewed, packaged, and all of that. Wouldn't apply to sales on the mainland, of course, but that, I guess, has never really been enforced. But so there, the company did move to settle this lawsuit, reported that it's about a $4.8 million settlement, and again, not acknowledging any wrongdoing in the case. Mm-hmm. They just expressed a desire to move forward. If this settlement receives court approval, anyone who purchased Kona beer, not in draft form, but in six packs or cans, bottles, since February of 2013, will be eligible for a refund up to $20 per household.
But you need your receipts, right?
You actually don't. You can get up to $10 per household without receipts.
Ryan Finnerty. You can find his story online at hawaiipublicradio.org. He's a producer here on The Conversation, doing stories for the shows as well. Ryan, thanks a lot.
Thanks, Bill.